paradise and put up a fucking lie.
Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country, and food country, and people country. And if I sound a little vague, it's because it's the holiday season. It's been raining like crazy. The food has been wonderful, and the people swell. And I don't know, sleepy is a thing. You know what I mean? Sleepy is a thing. So last week, we talked a little bit about the year in retrospect. There have been some developments just in the last week that we really want to talk about, some really wonderful, some really terrible. And then we'll take a look back at some of the other things, some of the restaurants that opened, some of the restaurants that closed, and some of the things that make life here really amazing. We'd honored the Wine Growers Association, I believe that is what it's called, honored something like 22 families that have been farming for over 100 years. And so, folks, if you read that, I don't know, there was a piece in the San Francisco Chronicle about how red wine is down in sales, like, significantly because it's so expensive and people are wanting to trade to something more less expensive, more affordable is the word I was desperately looking for. And also not as much alcohol in the kind of mix of things for a lot of people. Don't forget, our farmers used to grow prune plums. They grew potatoes. They grew hops. They grew apples. Our farmers are going to be fine. We have to support them. We want to. But whatever it is, I tend to look for the winemaking families who do a great job, who take care of the soil, who make great grapeness is what I call it, and who also have produce. I mean, you know, it's all about food. And a lot of people feel that wine at its best is food. It's part of the table. And so, when you look at somebody who's growing things, you can really focus on the people who embrace it. The Preston family, there's just nothing that they grow, Susan and Lou, that isn't absolutely delicious and amazing and kind of shocking and really pleasing. This is a very important time in farm and wine country because a lot of pruning, a lot of cleaning, fair amount of sleeping. You know, it's very important to catch up on all that kind of stuff. Just since last we spoke, the New York Times did a piece about something like the 22 best bakeries in America. Big deal. Now, I would have to say that some of my favorite bakeries, I mean, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 are here in Sonoma County. I mean, oh my goodness. If you have not been to a local bakery lately, forget the carb thing. You know, go for a run. Have beef tartare as a protein balance. Eat your veggies. But for goodness sakes, we have bakeries that make wonderful food from great ingredients. And we're blessed with that. So Quail and Gondor, one of the top bakeries in America. And believe me when I tell you, they went all over America, those Times folks, and they eat a lot. And they've gotten a lot of attention, these folks. They came out of the single thread kitchen. But, you know, Sean McGay came to Sonoma County to farm, to help single thread plant their farm. Again, there's a thread, single, as it may be, through all of it. This all comes from the earth. This is what it's all about. And Melissa Yank is a brilliant baker. And what they do is delicious and wonderful. And it's right on the road coming into Healdsburg. So I think we will continue to get some good attention for all of that. On the other hand, the EPA, for many, many years, the Environmental Protection Agency, we may have to change some of those words, has been, for a lot of reasons, recommending that sludge, that's what's left over from cleaned up sewage, gets spread on farmland, you know, because for generations, for millennia, we have used leftover poop to, you know, go back into the soil. If you do it right, it's wonderful, but it turns out that some of that, in fact, more and more of it, has those forever chemicals that are toxic. And apparently, way back in the early aughts, 3M knew it and told the EPA, And the EPA kept telling farmers to spread that sludge. Another example of why it's so important to support your local farmers, the organic ones or the organic practice ones. Our farmers care about their soil so much. And those forever chemicals, I mean, if you're worried about vaccines, what you should worry about is putting poison into your body and the body of your children. That's what you should be worrying about. And so these are very real concerns. I'm talking about some good things that have been happening and some not so good things. Biden just passed or signed something that will get rid of a lot of that stuff by the end of next year. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I will say this, as wacky, and I mean wacky, as I think Robert Kennedy Jr. is, and I mean wacky, I mean, the worm in his head had to leave. You know what I mean? That's all I can tell you. But, you know, they say a broken clock is right twice a day. And sometimes I agree with people that I fundamentally disagree with on a lot of levels. And that's okay, folks. Measure J. We were all against it. Republicans, Democrats, everybody who wasn't, anyway, from out of town making trouble. He wants us to get rid of ultra-processed foods or to regulate them more. And again, from a party of let's not regulate, it's a really good piece of information. I mean, it's truly a good thing to happen. And the same thing goes for this kind of a situation where if there are toxic materials, they need to stay out of our food and out of our farming. That's what they need to do. They need to go away. We need to do that. Right now, there's a guy who, I don't know if you've ever had raw milk. I'm not a milk drinker. And our bodies are such that as we get older, as mammals, we stop being able to digest it. I believe we call that lactose intolerant or getting the toots. Anyway, it doesn't feel very good. And it turns out that there are two kinds of proteins in milk. The one called one and one called two. Is that clever? Isn't that scientific? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that magical? Anyway, the two doesn't make you feel bad. And you have to find the cows and breed them that produce that. And we have actually some of that going on here in California, which is, again, amazing. But raw milk, all milk used to be raw. And people used to get sick from some of it, like you get sick from some of everything. I don't know, farmland that's been toxically poisoned. What do you think? Bad water in Flint, Michigan. You know, it happens all the time, folks. There is no guarantee. But anyway, raw milk can carry some stuff. And when you cook it, when you pasteurize it, it gets rid of some of the bad bacteria, bad microbes. If you ultra pasteurize it, it gets rid of even more things called flavor, nutritional value, you know, little stuff. So just eat the newspaper. But anyway, but not on your phone. Anyway, the point is that historically, people who have produced raw milk, actually the people don't do it, the cows do it, but people who have creameries who produce it are much more careful than anybody else. Now, our creamers are incredibly careful. Our dairies are amazing. But the truth is that if you go to a dairy or a creamery that makes raw milk cheese, they're incredibly careful. Now, mind you, and this is important, cheeses that are made from raw milk are delicious, especially when they are aged over 60 days, because after 60 days, virtually anything that's bad for you dies. It gets eaten by the other stuff. And the same thing goes, lactic acid, anything that gives you a tummy ache, that goes away as well, which is why if we import, let's say, brie from France, it has to be more than 60 days old. The problem with raw milk brie that's 60 days old is that it's going to be good for another 2 hours. You know what I mean? That's what the French call à point. It's just the perfect point to eat it. So you have to go down to the dock and cram some brie in your face. It's not a great idea. And but anyway, so if you get an aged cheddar that's been aged more than 60 days, more than 90 days, more than 24 months, more than 3 years, everything that's not good is going to be gone, and all the flavor components and all the different things that can grow and develop in texture and flavor are in there. So again, it's fascinating. Think about all the things you learn about that are random. Think about all the things you learn about for a nanosecond on TikTok and then forget and then turns out to be not true. There's so much to learn about food. What's great is that the newer generations really do love this, really do get interested, no more than, oh my gosh, most people my age, most people, and you know, I fell in love with food because it was a great way to learn about learning. It changed the culture, it changed the community, it changed the neighborhood, it changed the friendships. And the late, great James Beard, who was considered the dean of American cookery, who used to live 6 months of the year on Nob Hill in San Francisco at the Stanford Court Hotel, and 6 months of the year when he wasn't traveling, on 12th Street in the Greenwich Village in his townhouse, which is now the Beard House. He used to say one of the things he loves about food, and he knew more than anybody, is that you can never learn it all. So you don't ever have to feel bad that you don't know it all. But try to know what's going into your mouth. Try to know what's going into your kids and family and friends. It's not that difficult. And here in Sonoma County, when you can talk to a farmer, when you can talk to a grocer, when you can talk to a cheesemonger, when you can talk to your neighbors, when you can talk to your radio producer, when you to all your friends who like to go out and like to talk about these things. I mean, there was a guy whose name will remain in obscurity, who came with some credential and who still, I think, makes wine and olive oil here. And he bought a restaurant and he opened it up and was very arrogant about what his team knew. And I was forced to go. And the manager was very proud of the charcuterie plate. The only problem was he didn't know what a single thing on it was or where it came from. And so when he stood there looking like a fool, I believe is the technical term, the lady at the next table rattled it off. She was just a local that bought the stuff from the different meat curers, for the charcutier, I don't know, the folks down the road. And you should have seen, I mean, his eyes got wider and wider and wider. Needless to say, that restaurant is something else today. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the restaurants that have come to our community that we love and we embrace and that we appreciate. Right back here at the table. Me and my ukulele, no, we are back at the table. It's Clark Wolf, and we're talking about some stuff that happened this year, things that are still happening. I mean, we'll try to avoid talking about all the times that food was recalled from Trader Joe's. We'll just try to let that go. We'll try to let go of the toxic sludge. No, go buy organic, go buy local, go buy from a farm stand down the road. Anyway, you know, my work has been in restaurants for many, many years. And of course, it started in ingredients for me. It started as the guy behind the counter, actually the manager of a cheese shop at the base of Nob Hill in the 70s, where I learned how powerful and important and wonderful food is and how many stories there are and all the things that are involved in it and how to take care of it and how to learn more about it. Here in Sonoma County, the evolution of food is really interesting. One of the best bakeries, we just mentioned that, Quail and Condor was mentioned by the New York Times. One of the 22 best in the country, Single Thread in Healdsburg as well, has gotten every award there is. Top of La Liste, Michelin stars up the hoo-hoo. I mean, all these things. But it's not one of those kind of shooting star fall to earth. It's not what some people call magic show restaurant, where it's trying so hard to do something so special that once you've been there, you have to go on to the next one because you don't want to do that again, you know, because the smoke under the dome under your face with the foot. I mean, you know, whereas they have repeat customers, bless their hearts. I'm glad they have the money, but the food is really wonderful and they have their own farm. That's just really, really great. So it's not a surprise that some of the best stuff comes from people who have worked at Single Thread. They have a couple of hundred staff and people want to come and work there and they stay for a while and they're very gracious about how they let people move on and support them when they do good things. That's Kyle and Katina Connaughton, which is fun to say, by the way. And so you have to say that Sean Kwan and Jenny Fan. Yeah, that reads really funny. Anyway, they have a new place called Bazaar Sonoma, and it's in Forestville. Now, mind you, it is a location of great juju. It had been the wonderful backyard, and it always giggled me because there was a front yard, and I could never understand why this place called Backyard had a front yard, or this place with the front yard had a backyard. Anyway, turns out the idea was that it tasted like the food was grown in your backyard. And Dan Kadan is now teaching at the Culinary Institute, and he does catering, he does other stuff, and he's wonderful. And it was really special. The folks from Brew in Santa Rosa thought that Forestville would be a great place for their funky corner. And I love Brew in Santa Rosa. It's ridiculous. It's goofy. It's queer in all the best ways and music and all. But you know, in a funny spot in Santa Rosa, that kind of a thing is different from Forestville. Forestville is in the middle of West County, folks. It is on the Gravenstein Highway. The Gravenstein Highway has probably more groceries, more markets, more farmers markets, more places to buy really great food than any place I've ever been. I mean, you know, you go Kumloy and Ramen Gajan and Whole Foods and Annie's Farm Stand, and even the Safeway's got a good organic section because they have to. You know what I mean? And so they decided they would do this very funky thing, and it just really, it wasn't very good. It just wasn't very good. So we were worried about it because it's a, you know, kind of a beloved space. And Sonoma County Pizza Company opened across the street and took up all the parking, bless their hearts. I'm glad they did. I love it. I had vegetable lasagna there recently that was nuts. It was so good. Anyway, Bazaar Sonoma is from two people who came out of the Single Thread Kitchen, and it is Chinese American, really, really high level, really, really casual and comfortable. So you go to the counter, you see what there is available. When they run out, they run out. They don't pull from the freezer and defrost. And it's amazing, delicious food. And Heather Irwin, who's done a couple of really great articles at the end of the year about what's great for Sonoma Magazine and for the Press Democrat, it's her favorite new restaurant of the year. I think that there's so many in that category. And also, I like lists of places I want to go. I don't ever believe in best. Worst sometimes, but not best. Because what am I feeling like today? You know what I mean? What's best for lunch, best for dinner, best with people from out of town, best, you know what I mean? Anyway, but it really is delicious. And the food is astounding. Then I've also been to what she calls her runner-up. We never like to say run when we talk about a restaurant. Anyway, it is in Sebastopol, and it's A&M Barbecue, and it is really, really good. They do a dry rub, and they serve great sauces. So if you want the sticky, you get it. It's there at the table for you. But it's delicious, and it's really from a number of wonderful, talented people. We had the owners of Tiza Bistro that closed in Windsor and opened in Healdsburg, and they make really wonderful schnitzel. I mean, you know, we are all missing Franchetti's because they just closed recently. They've been around for a long time. And those of you who liked it for its German stuff along with the French, it was in a border somewhere in the Alps, I thought, but it was really wonderful, and we love those people. This is another wonderful place with very nice people. And then if you've been to Healdsburg, if you ever went to the Oakville Grocery, that corner is really kind of in the middle of town. And some very, very nice people have opened up something that isn't very available in Healdsburg. A breakfast place. I mean, they're all over Sonoma County. They're all, a lot of places open until 3. In Sebastopol, out on the coast, you know, out on the river, all different kinds of places. But in Healdsburg, I guess something to do with rent? I don't know. Anyway, Acorn Cafe is fabulous. And I went recently. And once again, very good cooks doing casual, not casual food, because the food is darn serious. It's really delicious. You go up to the counter, you order, you pay, you go sit down, they bring it to you. I believe that's called limited service. And, you know, I think what it should be called is focused, or put your money where the food is, because the prices are reasonable for the quality of the food. And I would much rather, and they have plenty of nice people running around working and doing all kinds of good things, I'd much rather have my money on the plate and, you know, pay the people fairly and tip nicely at the counter because they are bringing you your food. But I've had a couple of meals there, and it's absolutely delicious. Another wonderful place out West County is the Wild Poppy. It's out there on Bodega Highway, past town. And I had the wonderful owners of that inn here before they opened. These are people who had lived in Sonoma County, left, went to family, I think in Kansas City or something, and came back. And Wild Poppy is there. It's been a number of different things. Mark Mulacki was there for a while. Fork and Earlobe or whatever. It's been a lot of things. But boy, it's a lovely garden, but inside is really wonderful. And it's just, again, so many good things and so much homey cooking. Now, I got to tell you, my favorite kind and my belief is that the very best kind of consistent restaurant cooking is professionalized home cooking. Things that you would love to have at home if your grandmother, you know, was still around and really wanted to get out of her Chanel suit and get in the kitchen and cook. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think that anybody should be strapped to the kitchen, but when those kinds of homey, traditional home foods, whether they're French or Italian or American, they're really wonderful. I have reported on the fact that I had a great meal. I had two meals. It was in one sitting at the Lucas Wharf location of Rocker Oyster Fellows. Oh my gosh. They have Jamila Nixon, and she has done all kinds of really good stuff in Sonoma County, but she's got that Southern, that Cajun, that wonderful, and the seafood is right out the back door. It's absolutely delicious. So wait, there's more. We'll be right back with more things that opened, wonderful places that you want to go, and a sad goodbye to some places, and just a tip of the hat to some people who have been working very hard to bring us good food. We have so much good food here, and we share it with a lot of people when they come visit in the summer, when they visit in the winter. I like them to come for Thanksgiving and stay through New Year and join us right back here at the table. Back at the table, I really did resist saying yeehaw. That music just makes me want to, I don't know, line dance. It wouldn't be pretty. All right, look, I want to mention one more opening, and it's kind of a perpetual opening because it's I think they opened their third location, and the Petaluma opening is the big one. But Sarmentine is kind of an amazing bakery. There's one at the Barlow, there's one at Petaluma. The one I go to is off Mission, off Highway 12. And they just, I mean, this is what my favorite food is all about. One of the reasons I love Della Fattoria in Petaluma is that you can have a ham and cheese sandwich on white bread, and it makes you cross your eyes. It's so good. But it makes you realize why these things have become classic, even though they're terrible most of the time from a vending machine or at the airport. But when you have great ham or great turkey and great cheese and great white bread, country loaf that they make themselves, and Hellman's mayonnaise, I don't know, Best Foods, what do we call it here? I can't remember. It's Best Foods, yeah. But Sarmentine has a sandwich they call the Parisian. It's their baguette, kind of a half one. It's it's about, 10 inches long or so, with boiled French Parisian ham and Swiss cheese, like a Gruyere or a Comté or an Emmental, and butter. Butter, folks, butter. Really, really good butter. And that's it. And it's one of my favorite things ever, because when it's really simple and really good, it is the ultimate fast food. Nobody minds having really good food quickly, as long as it's taken generations to figure out how to make it and enough time to actually make the stuff that you slap together and really enjoy. So now we have to talk about some of the ones that have gone. And again, Heather Irwin did a great piece about this as well. I am not going to mention all of them because I'm not going to miss all of them. But I'm not going to mention them. Never mind. We all have to. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's a critic, right? And if it hurts, just yell Yelp. Anyway, Chalkboard at Lamar's was where Cyrus first opened many, many years ago. And, there was a big kerfuffle. Now that Cyrus has reopened in Geyserville, it feels better to feel fondly about Chalkboard. It was one of those places where the food was fairly straightforward and simple, but really delicious. And I have to say what's interesting there is, and this is something if you are around food a long time, you realize people with all the money in the world often like really simple food. I've had friends and colleagues who cook for some of the most, what is the word, successful? All right, rich families. And what they want are steamed asparagus and roasted chicken and something really, really good and really, really simple. And Chalkboard had a lot of very familiar American food done really well. I mean, it was a luxury to have something this simple. However, that chef went on to be the overall chef of all the Foley family properties, I guess. And a former MasterChef contestant, Adrian Nieto, opened Arandas. So we lost a place. But we got something really wonderful, and I'm really planning to go. I hear very, very nice things about it and hope that it will be good. So again, sometimes when something's done, it's done. Sometimes restaurants close because the lease is up and re-upping is just too expensive or exhausting. It's hard running a restaurant. And a lot of our restaurateurs, whom we love, end up having a food truck and a catering company and go from winery to winery because it's more sustainable and because it's there's a consistency to it and because we don't have that many people here. People forget. Everybody wants to come to Sonoma County and cook and eat. And we have, you know, not that many people, and they're spread out, and there are farms and coast and whatever. And we don't really even have the infrastructure to have thousands and thousands of more people that would support all those restaurants. Second story is another one that closed, and it was really interesting. It was at Upstairs at Little Saint, which is in Healdsburg. The building opened up as Shed some years ago as a very high-end marketplace kind of thing. And then it became Little Saint, and it's all vegetarian vegan. I mean, it's really veg. And a very ambitious, very exciting restaurant opened up upstairs called Second Story. The facility is amazing. The truth is, once again, big open space, gorgeous kitchen, wonderful view out the terrace. Not enough demand for vegan at that level. Just not, you know, not enough demand. I mean, vegan restaurants have worked, or vegan menus have worked, at other high-level restaurants in San Francisco where there's a much higher population and where it's not the only menu. I mean, one of the only ones we know of is 11 Madison Park in New York City, where Daniel Hum, who started at Campton Place in San Francisco, we got to know him there, went there and it got 3 Michelin stars, and then it went all vegetarian, all vegan. And it's still doing very, very well. But I hear that there are a lot more people in New York. Many more folks that might want to do that. A place that's near my gym called Vineburger. Oh my gosh. I have to say, it was absolutely delicious. But they made each one to order. I'm taking a pause here because I want to reflect on the fact that we've been made to believe that hamburgers are instant. That you just pop them in the hoo-hoo. And, you know, smash burgers. I love that the term has become, that's what you got at a diner when the guy behind with a spatula went and flipped and went and threw the burger at you. You know what I mean? So, and here they made all different kinds of burgers, and plump and beautifully done and carefully seasoned and deliciously cooked and way too long to wait for it. I mean, and also in at a kind of a strange location. Lovely people. I hope they do something else. Woodfour from the Barlow, the brew pub. They've had a couple of iterations, but they were kind of a mainstay. And, you know, I know there's some new things at the Barlow. I know that the initial part of it was very ambitious, and it is one of the better uses of that kind of a district. I know that they've had some real difficulties because they didn't really handle the flooding very well. And we lost some of the best restaurateurs who probably won't go back to restaurateuring again because it's just too difficult. But we're going to miss them. Fork Table at Cornerstone from a very star chef. I think she might open another place somewhere else because there's real talent there. And, sometimes it's somebody else's fault. And then Multi Amici, oh my gosh, an ongoing dramatic story where Campofina, a beloved favorite in Healdsburg, was replaced by this Multi Amici. And then it kind of blew up. And then there were accusations. And then it suddenly closed. And then it's had a pop-up since. So in the new year, we can look for who knows what. But good food will be made, and we will miss some of these places. The pharmacy was wonderful, just no place to sit. And, we'll hope that all the people and all the talent from those places will find new homes. All right, we're going to eat more and talk more right back here at the table. And we're back at the table, and I'm Clark Wolf, and we're talking about what is, what was, what might be, what's for lunch. I mean, that's what it's all about, really. And I don't want to go any further without mentioning lovely people making wonderful food that we're going to miss. I hope that they at least cater, you know, immediately after owning a restaurant for a long period of time, people say they're never going to do it again. Sometimes they do, but it's kind of, there's a little restaurant PTSD. And Franchetti's, they're John Franchetti and Jazine, his wife, they're just lovely, lovely people, and they've made wonderful food. I first met John actually at the Catena in Trevigna in St. Helena. That's also fun to say. And he's a real pizzaiolo. He studied in Naples. I mean, he's the real deal. The guy knows how to ferment dough and how to make sure that the balance is incredible. But when they, and he was a partner with Rosso Pizzeria, which is next to Zoftik, which is quite wonderful, by the way. But when they split, when he split with the partner there, after they had opened Petaluma, that didn't quite work out. Again, people forget, you cannot necessarily transfer something that you've done in one place to another place. People just seem to think that alchemy really isn't a thing. I remember a restaurant in New York City. It's called Raoul's. It's still there on Prince Street. And you have to be careful because whoever you go there with, you might end up in a romantic relationship. That's a euphemism, folks. The place is foreplay. It's so sexy. It's so wonderful. And there's magic. And these people would work there and they'd think they had it. And they would go open a restaurant and it would fail. They would open another. Another one went, fail. There was some, even the owner of the restaurant, Raoul, open another restaurant, didn't work out. Sometimes the elements come together and they are, as Alice Waters from Chez Panisse says, more than the sum of their parts. And Rosso was just that way. I'll never forget a restaurateur that I mentioned earlier that I'm not going to mention by name, who opened a dumb plate. Anyway, never mind. Came in and was really mad. Wow, how come this place is full? And there's Thomas Keller, and there's Clark, and there's this person, and there people were coming. And my restaurant, which I think is better, nobody's coming. Well, because your personality is not very good. And also because John made great food. He makes great food. But when they split, they had opened up the restaurant, another in Santa Rosa, off North Dutton. In a parking lot. Come on, in a parking lot. But it was oddly one of the first places I ever had a meal in Sonoma County when I moved here, because I was doing business with somebody and they said, let's go to this place. And it was just this odd place. Wonderful thing that they did with Franchetti's for many years. And they moved to Jazine's food a little bit, which is more German. Anyway, they're closing by the end of this year. When you hear this, they have just had their last day last week. And they're lovely people. And they need to be mentioned. One of the things that's happened that we should really keep our eyes on, because it's already happened under our noses, we just didn't realize, is that malls and big department stores, as you know, have not done well because people buy online or they just buy less and or they buy different. So the anchors that used to be these big stores are now restaurants. I mean, you know, in the big mall in Santa Rosa, P.F. Chang's is going in. Chuck E. Cheese or Buster's? I mean, what Buster's, right?
Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster. Who's Dave? Who's Buster? I don't know. I think there's melted cheese.
Why do they like playing so many games?
Exactly. They're playing games. But this is what they're trying to do. And of course, we see Shake Shack in a number of places, which brings me to Montgomery Village. Montgomery Village is an outdoor mall in the 1950s style. And I really love it because it feels like a place that has been built. It feels like a market. You know, and some of my favorite restaurants are there. I love to go to Roku Ramen. It's the same folks that have Sitai Bistro. And of course, Monty's has just been redone by the Starks. And Tomatina is absolutely delicious. I mean, Shake Shack is actually there. Avid Coffee is there. I mean, Boudin, if you want to have some soup and a piece of bread, the famous bread bowl.
Used
right?
to work there. Fun fact.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh Jeff.
Yeah. Had a ton of soups from Bodine and their sandwiches too.
Right. I mean yeah. I like to remind myself of the story that my epiphany for food was in San Francisco, in my 20s when I had just moved there. I was living off Monterey Boulevard, and sharing an apartment with some guy, and I read the San Francisco Chronicle. It said, go buy a Dungeness crab, which, by the way, is coming up January 5th. They're coming. And put it on this newspaper and get a hammer, preferably a wooden mallet, and smack it. Get a lemon, a Eureka lemon, not a Meyer lemon. Meyer lemon is great for tea when you have a sore throat, but a Eureka, a zippy one. Maybe some Best Foods mayonnaise, a bottle of Wente Brothers Chenin Blanc, and a boudin baguette of sourdough. It was the one where I, after living on Kraft Dinner, 19 cents a box, I had this meal because I was flush for a minute. And went crazy and thought, this is what life is all about. This is what food is. And noticed that San Francisco, the Bay Area, bringing food from Sonoma County, basically, ingredients from here, right? I mean, right down the bay, right into San Francisco, was leading the world. Over time in my career, I've discovered so much of what's been developed here goes to New York or LA to become a business, goes to London or to Hong Kong to be stolen and replicated. It's less that way than it was, but for a very long time, San Francisco and the ingredients of Sonoma County, of the North Bay, were crucial to the way people ate at their best throughout the world. And these days, you might even get good food at a friendly mall in your hood. More back here at the table. Table for the last few moments this year of chatting about food here at KSRO. You know, it's really been quite a year, and it promises to be pretty crazy next year too. So far, the good news is we've had a lot of water, and I'm going to knock on the wood that is my head and hope that it keeps going the way it has, which is a bunch of water and then a break so that the earth can, you know, hold it. We've gotten better and better about doing all those things. It's so good for our farmland. Again, as I mentioned last week, we had a great year for a lot of our favorite crops, for the stone fruit and for the strawberries and all those, for the wine grapes, it was just apparently amazing. Next year, you have to pay attention to recalls. You have to pay attention. I know it's fun to shop at Trader Joe's, but they had something like 6 recalls in 8 weeks or 12 weeks. You have to pay attention. Costco, who does a very good job, just had a big egg recall. You've got to pay attention to these things. I mean, again, I think Costco is a great place in a lot of ways. It came to us as a place for wholesale purchases for restaurants. And again, you know, I like the crossover. Many, many years ago when I worked and redid the Oakville Grocery in San Francisco, in the Napa Valley, in Oakville, and then opened the one in San Francisco, I decided, and people thought I was nuts, it was 1980, I was nuts, that I wanted to have all the stuff, all the ingredients that chefs used to be for sale to people just across the counter in a market, in a grocery. I would take 22-pound blocks of Calabout Belgian chocolate and break them up in pieces and sell them by the pound. This was only, but prior to that, being sold, you know, to bakers, to chocolatiers directly. And so we had all those ingredients for great chefs. It's important to know where your food comes from. There has been no egg shortage in Sonoma County, meaning even with the avian flu. First of all, I don't eat eggs all the time, the same amount all year round. The chickens get cranky and they don't lay as many in the winter. They're cold. I mean, you know, their water heaters are the fridge. No, I mean, you know, I lean into what the farmer has at the farmer's market and what's in the grocery stores, in our wonderful food markets. And I remind you, have some award-winning cheeses. Once again, Marin French, believed by many to be the longest running continuous creamery cheesemaker in America. Just one for a cheese I like very much. I call it a stinky cheese. It's a wash rind. It's called Golden Gate. It ripens beautifully. It's great with anything you like to drink it with. It just won a big award. They won an award for their mini brie. Those Point Reyes original farmstead people are so talented. they keep winning award after award at the World Cheese Conference in Portugal or something. I think they just go on vacation with the cheese in their suitcase. No, they don't do that. But the point is that we have great things to eat here. Eat them in season. Enjoy them when they're available. Buy too much and make a big batch and share with your family and friends. And make sure that soup is a big part of your life 12 months a year, because if it's good and it's in soup, it's good for you and everyone else. And have a wonderful, delicious new year. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is At the Table.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be in paradise and put up a fucking lie.